This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Dry Danny, and very rarely not dry me. We are partying.
It's what we're known for.
Yeah.
Partying.
We party till we die around these parts. Yeah. Darius knows. It's how you get your guy fired up on a Friday.
Uh-huh.
This is the time. Let it drop right here, Darius. Danny, this is the good stuff, huh?
Waiting for it to be over. It is almost done.
Nats Park, bro. Can't wait. Be back over there. They'll be playing this.
Whose song is this? Is this somebody's song?
They play this in the ballpark to just get the people moving.
It gets people moving. It's provocative, yeah.
Very nice. Did you hear about the big near fight? Media stare down that turned into a near boxing match?
I certainly did. So not a good look for anybody.
Here's what happened. Yeah, you don't want to be one of the two guys. If you're a news breaker, you don't want to be in the news because of something stupid that you did, just generally. Ian Rappaport is probably the number two NFL news breaker in the industry behind Adam Schefter, I would say. He's good at what he does, and he works really hard, I'm sure. But he's also at NFL Network, which helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had a hell of a career. So he gets a lot of news. And he is one of the preeminent reporters when it comes to covering football at this point. I would say the IT club, like the jacket wearers of national newsbreakers, would be Shefty at ESPN, Rap Sheet at NFL Network, maybe Pelissero. Would you put him in there?
Pelissero, yeah.
At NFL Network. Is there anyone else you would allow behind the velvet rope as far as the top newsbreakers in the NFL? Because there's another tier down where you've got, like, you know, Mike Garofolo and some other guys like that. But is there anyone else that you would say is at that top tier?
No, that's the tip-top club. And certainly there are other names that have broken news in the past.
Yeah.
Whether Diana Rossini or one man blanket, the Super Bowl guest from Fox. Jay Glazer, thank you. I mean, there are plenty of guys and gals that have broken
Glazer
news.
Glazer might even be in that top group. Although
he's close. He was, I think, maybe not as much now.
Yeah, he's like a whole different category because he's like friends with all these guys and going to dinner with them and, you know, training them in MMA and all this stuff. But I only bring up the hierarchy because it's a very clicky thing. Having been a reporter before, it's ultra competitive. Even on the local beat, you're buddies with all the people you're competing against. So I was on the beat, and it's John Keim, and it's Mike Jones, and it's Rich Campbell, and all these folks, and you're all fighting for the same stories, but you're going out to dinner, and you're mingling, and then one person checks their phone, and everyone else starts firing off the same text, and it's very, very competitive, right? Because of that, it can get clicky, and everyone wants their credit. When you get a story, you better cite me, you better say I got it first, which can be a little bit exhausting, I think, as a consumer on the outside for a lot of people.
Yes.
But you trade in that. Like, that is the business, is that I got the story, not me personally, but whoever did, and then I need the credit for it. On top of that, what you can sometimes get is some cattiness, for lack of a better word, some infighting over a report that you got that isn't good, or that I don't like, or that I don't think is accurate. And that brings us to this week. So the new kid on the block is Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports, okay? Jordan Schultz is a fast riser in the reporter game. He is a hard charger who I think works really hard, works the agents well, works the teams well. I've had very limited interactions with him. He's come on our show a couple of times.
He has, yes.
But just as an example, like when he's come on our show, and there's this is not me joning. I'm just giving you some background on, like, this guy gets it. He's really working at it. He's trying. Like, he's like, hey, man, make sure you follow me on social media. And I don't think I did. So I'm like, oh, my bad. I'll follow you. And then he's like, hey, can you get your station to follow me? And there's little things like that where he like, cares about.
He's grinding, yeah.
He's putting in the work, and he's trying to become a dude, right? And he is getting a lot of stuff, to his credit, this offseason. If you notice, he's gotten a lot of stories.
There are more bylines, more, you know, according to Jordan Schultz from, yeah, yes. There's a lot of things, yep.
So he is in the game now, and he's gone from the outside to the inside, and I'm sure there's a little bit of, like, the Mean Girls Club where, you know, the top reporters kind of poke their fun and make jokes. Now, for people that don't know, I just think it's important for the story. Jordan Schultz's dad is Howard Schultz.
Yeah.
Who is a billionaire many times over because he founded Starbucks. He's the guy behind Starbucks. That's his dad.
Yep.
So, if so facto, then Jordan Schultz is probably also a billionaire in waiting? Is that how that works?
You would think. I mean, unless you did one of those things where...
The heir apparent?
Yeah, like, I'm not leaving my kid anything. He's got to make his own way or something, and who knows what they do.
We but call that the Mr. Deeds, right?
Yeah, at some point, you would think Jordan will be doing just fine. Maybe there's a nest egg there.
But remember, when you hear Starbucks, that's interesting, because his dad started Starbucks. Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, now let's get to the story. Jordan Schultz reports this week that Matt Stafford and Tom Brady got together in Montana at Brady's place and talked about Matt Stafford becoming the quarterback of the Raiders. Immediately, rap sheet comes out, and he does not acknowledge Schultz's report. He doesn't acknowledge that he's talking about him at all, but he just shoots it down, essentially. He says, hey, they didn't meet. It was a, you know, accidental bumping into at a ski resort where they both were, and this was not planned. And they weren't talking specifics about Stafford playing with the Raiders. Now, for the record, on this specific story and example, Danny, I actually think Schultz is probably way more right than Rappaport.
That's what I think, too.
Did it happen at Brady's house? It sounds like maybe not. So maybe all the details weren't perfect. But do I think for one second that Tom Brady and Matt Stafford had a chance encounter where neither of them knew the other was going to be there, and then in said encounter didn't actually talk any specifics about Stafford playing quarterback for the Raiders all in the 72 hours right before he went back to the Rams and supposedly had a deal worked out with the Raiders for $45 to $50 million a year? I do not believe that. I believe that they did have a meeting, that it was planned. Maybe they do both live in Montana. I'm sure they do. Maybe they do both belong to that ski resort. Well, that might be why they met there then. But I would imagine that it was not a chance encounter. So I guess by definition then, I'm kind of more on Schultz's report than Rap Sheet's report, which felt like a little cleaning up after the fact to say, oh, come on, these guys just bumped into each other like you always do. You bump into everyone at these Montana ski resorts. You guys know that.
Yeah, this isn't as important because I don't think anybody's lying here. See what I'm saying? Like, I believe someone told that to Ian Rappaport and he's reporting that.
Of course.
I happen to think it's bogus. I think it's nonsense. I think it takes 1 second of a third grade and above logic to go, well, that's absurd.
But I also think that that's pretty a tough look a little bit. Like, the putting out immediately what someone told you just to pour cold water on something. That one's tough. Like, if it was more believable, maybe it wouldn't be. But, hey, guys, it was a chance encounter. And it was like an all cap. I mean, not all caps, but it read that way. You get what I'm saying.
Right.
They didn't talk about anything specific, and they never talked about him playing quarterback. I don't believe you.
Yeah. Talk about their shared love for moguls. Like, no, they didn't.
But it was obviously him just pushing back against Schultz and saying, he botched this. This is wrong. Whatever. So this brings us to their encounter, which happened at a Starbucks.
At a Starbucks.
You just can't make it up. In a nice hotel in Indianapolis. I believe it was at the JW Marriott, which is where I would stay when I would go cover this event. It's actually one of the big hangs for, like, all the media people and some team people. You know, you'll meet with agents or team people at the bar or whatever. But so they're getting their coffee, or at least Rap Sheet was. And the way the story is reported by Mike Florio, Jordan Schultz, who's over 6 foot and like 225 pounds, comes up to Rap Sheet, who, according to the Pat McAfee Show, is 5'5", 140, which is hilarious, by the way. I'm going to say he's probably like 160, but he's definitely very short. I've been around him.
They would not be in the same weight class were they to fight.
Exactly. And Schultz kind of comes in hot and is very angry with Rappaport, obviously because he shot down his report. But it sounds like there's maybe some more to this. My guess is Schultz feels like Rap Sheet doesn't, and this is me guessing, speculating, doesn't consider him a real top dog and doesn't give him any credit and never cites him when he breaks a story. And every time I get something, you just come behind me and break it or confirm it. Because what happens is when you're one of the top guys, you don't really acknowledge when the people that you don't think are on your level break something. Now, I saw this all the time when I was on the local beat. Doesn't matter what we say. Until the national guys come in and grant their with their blessing, they're not. Mm-hmm. Now some of them will occasionally throw an at reply. Schefter a couple times, which was really, really cool, like cited me on something. But generally, a lot of the time, unless you're a guy that they really respect on their level, they're not going to give you a whole lot of love. You just can't get that upset by that.
So, like,
my guess is Schultz gets upset by that.
Yeah. So the way I would describe it is this: imagine you came over to my house for dinner, and like I dropped a dish on the ground, and my wife lost it on me. It's not because of the dish. That was the straw. All day long, I've been doing stuff wrong. Oh, like I'm in the kitchen. I'm opened up the wrong drawer. I've annoyed her all day long. And so the final straw that you happen to witness is this series of tweets or me dropping the dish on the ground, so to speak. I think whatever happened had been simmering and it came to a head over this.
Could be an amazing relationship and they just had a bad day.
Yeah.
But it seems to me like if I had to put my guessing hat on,
mm-hmm.
and I've got, you know, informed speculation as someone who's been in this reporting game.
My speculation spectacles are on.
I'll bet that Rap Sheet views himself as a have at the cool kid lunch table.
Uh-huh.
He views Schultz as a have not at the cool kid lunch table. And Schultz doesn't like this very much. And he doesn't get treated with the respect from Rap Sheet that he wants. And in this particular case, it was the straw that broke his back. Or the, you know, the half and half that put the coffee over the top of the cup.
So to speak.
If you were.
Yeah.
If you will.
Mm-hmm, will.
And so they almost got into it. They're shouting at each other. They're separated. They almost get into this big fight at Starbucks at the Combine. And it's just a hilarious story to me.
So if we were on Family Feud and this story was described, what I would want is something to the effect of, what should the people in this be feeling? I'll go with shame. Show me shame. Ding. Number one answer on the board. Grant, what should they be feeling? Some embarrassment? Ooh, good answer, good answer.
Yeah, let me
show
answer.
Me embarrassment.
So shame and embarrassment are both very high on this list. There's no doubt. How many more, like, do we have to turn around?
Top four answers are on the board. We have the top two already.
Oh, there's only four?
Only four answers. That's what I can think of. You can say five?
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. They should be feeling regret. Regret on the board?
Show me regret.
I like that. Okay, it's my turn again. Wow.
Yeah, you could still go.
You already said embarrassment.
Yeah, I said embarrassment and shame.
Okay.
You said regret.
How about humiliation?
Ooh, good answer, good answer, good answer. Show me humiliation. Nice,
yeah,
we done,
just,
we win.
It's not good. And I don't sit here trying to beat up on these guys. Hopefully we'll have both of them on the show in the future. But it's... there's a little bit of someone or both is taking themselves way too seriously if we're about to throw punches in a Starbucks over our reporting.
Here's
I need you to grow up a little bit.
Here's the dirty little secret. And I don't listen. We rely as consumers, as fans. I'm just a pudgy fan over here. We rely as consumers on the information that these folks provide. Okay. And I'm grateful for it. I follow a bunch of reporters, whether they are local here, national reporters everywhere. I just want the information. At the end of the day, nobody really cares. The information is the thing. You see, the deliverer of the information, I understand that's the lifeblood. The people who care about that are also in your field.
Yes.
It's not a cool thing. It's not like something I'm proud of saying. I need to know if Matt Stafford and Tom Brady are colluding or whatever you want to call it, or they're meeting and it's salacious and behind closed doors, and what's going to happen with the deal. If Jordan Schultz reports it, if Adam Schefter reports it on a podcast where he's carrying water for the owners, if Diana Rossini reports it, I know it's a big deal to them because it's your world and you've worked very hard to get it. At the end of the day, I need the information. I'm so less concerned with this sort of dramatics, and I think for most fans, it's eye-rolling and tired.
I agree with you, but it's just two very different roles, so to speak.
Totally.
The consumer and the provider. Mm-hmm. What you're saying is basically like, I don't care who hits the home run. I just, let me know if the team won or not. But to the players, the home run is how you get paid. The home run is how you have value. The home run is how you get a job. The home run is how you stay employed. So, yeah, you don't care.
Right.
And to them, it's the only thing that matters.
I know, totally.
Is that, you know, they do, that's their job, break mm-hmm. news, right? And so, yeah, I get it. You're just on different sides of it. But it was a very embarrassing, shameful, ridiculous, stupid thing that happened. And it's a laughable situation. But here at the Grant and Danny radio program,
mm-hmm.
we actually did a little digging. And we were able to find out that there are other media fights that we wanted to tell you about
now. Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah, this is not the only media beef that's been going on. In fact, we have some audio from some of these other media fights on the Grant and Danny radio program.
Okay.
As an example, did you guys know that Adam Schefter recently got into it with John Gruden? Adam Schefter and John Gruden, who's back with Barstool now, have recently got into a bit of a spat.
So what I've found out is that stupid haircutted troll, John Gruden, is back with the sophomoric Barstool Sports. He should be ashamed of himself. He's doing Spider 2 Wide Banana Shtick for the 55th straight year to a bunch of simpletons that are hammering Bush Lights between takes. He's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. The whole thing is ridiculous. Back to you, Boom. He said, what about who? Let me tell you something. If I ever see him in the street, he might get a people's elbow to the larynx, man. He's a boob. He used to be a newsbreaker. Now the only thing he breaks is his stride for an owner's text, man. He's carrying the mail, man. He's the that's what I call him. I call him the mailman, man. He's going back and forth to the owner's suite, to the agents, getting their word out for him. His shoulders are tired from carrying water, man.
Did you guys know that Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp recently got into a fight at a Dunkin' Donuts?
Oh, no, let me tell you something here. The Coolada is a superior beverage to the standard issue Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Don't come at me. I will not respond to your app replies. That's real. Shannon Sharp tells you about, okay, how healthy he is. Okay, you can see the muscles on muscles. That's fine. I watched him eat 4 donuts in one sitting. Okay, he is a liar. He is full of it. He is a Honda Accord. He's a Toyota to sell. He's lugubrious. He's mendacious. He's a Pops Mensa Bonsu, an obscure power forward from 15 years ago. Don't see me with that one. Let Club Shay Thay tell you about this. If I see Stephen A. Smith, it will be this ham to the side of his dome. I'm going upside his head, big time. He is a little goblin. I'm going to send him into next Monday where he'll be shouting at somebody else. Don't play with me.
I had no idea that they had gotten into it like
that. I didn't know that. Isn't that amazing?
But we had to, you know, as a show, we kind of unearthed some of these. I'd sent a bunch of texts, and we figured out who's been getting at each other a little bit. Did you guys know, I had no idea about this, this is crazy, that Charles Barkley and Chris Broussard were at major odds recently at a Chili's, somewhere in like Memphis, I think it was.
Well, there was a number of things that I was concerned about when it came to the menu. There was not enough enthusiasm when the wait staff asked us if we wanted a dessert menu at that time, and they offer a chocolate lava cake at the Chili's, and nobody was going to share it with me. And Chuck comes over, orders one for himself, and then just took it off our table. I found it to be absolutely preposterous.
Okay, first of all, Ernie, like I say, here's what happened. Chris Broussard, he was at the TGI Friday. He heard that I was at the Chili, and he came over and he had a salad, and he looking at me and I look at him and I thought it'd be funny. Next thing you know, he yelling on his shouting show. I'm not even sure if he a reporter no more. But the most important thing is chocolate lava cake, delicious. Back to you, Kenny.
And like that one, I could have seen coming.
You saw that, right?
The feud, there's only one more feud I'll give you, and this one blew my mind because these guys work so well together on air. They're literally on the same broadcast together. This one's crazy. I couldn't believe that John Walton and Ken Sabrin were getting into it.
Well, actually, I got a little sick and tired of going down to Kenny for some analysis, and it comes back with nothing. I'm hoping for some insight. Next thing you know, Kenny's groaning and talking about this, that, and the other thing, and I'm going, I got to fill some more time. This whole thing is preposterous. Oh, that's all it does. It's pretty much that. Middle of the game, I got to catch my breath. I'm going to say what happened on the ice, and Kenny says, oh, that's the entire thing. I'm sick of it. Katie Florio has your intermission report coming up. Capitals, for some reason, can no longer score. I'm irritated about it. Two straight losses. What do you think, Ken? Oh, thanks, Ken. You see what I'm working with?
I mean, we had to find those fights.
We'd dig them up, yeah.
And they weren't publicly known. So we worked hard for you on the Grant and Danny radio program after finding out about Rap Sheet and Jordan Schultz. Someone explain to me the quarterback edition next on Grant and Danny.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almacid.com.
So I botched something last segment. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. I got to thank Robert, one of our listeners, who sent me this note. And you could always tweet me at Grant H. Paulson or hit me up on Instagram, DM, or otherwise Grant H. Paulson there too. But he said, respectfully, Howard Schultz did not create Starbucks. Starbucks was founded in 1971 by Jerry Baldwin, Gordon Bowker, another guy. Howard Schultz was hired as a Starbucks employee in 82, director of retail ops and marketing. He became their CEO in 86.
The CEO forever, yeah.
And in 88, Schultz bought Starbucks from the founders for $3.8 million. He would remain the CEO until 2000, and he's now worth almost $4 billion. So never, he was not the founder, but ran Starbucks. That is the father of Jordan Schultz, who almost got into it with Ian Rappaport. But with that, let's spin you around the NFL. Someone explained to me the quarterback edition. What's funny is my first quarterback someone explained to me that I wrote down when we were going to do this a day ago. Someone explained to me why Matt Stafford shouldn't just go back to the Rams. I guess that's now dated.
I will explain that, yeah.
Matt Stafford didn't go to Vegas or the Giants, and he did, in fact, today agree to a deal with the LA Rams. Have already announced to their fans that he's coming back and that he's signed, sealed, and delivered. We're waiting on some details on that contract, but it just never made sense, Danny. And the reason it was number one on my hit list here for someone to explain to me quarterbacks, he wants to win. The Rams have a chance to win this coming season. They need a championship-level quarterback. What is the issue here? Him and McVay have always had a good relationship.
Yep.
It just didn't make any sense, but I think now we know he was trying to use the market as leverage to try to stay in L.A. for more money.
Yeah, he would like two things. One, the money, yes. Two, and to win. And you have to sometimes use desperate loser franchises to get the money from the winning franchise, and that seems to be what it was. This was the all-time I'll totally leave playbook, and I guess he was prepared to if it meant the kind of contract details that he certainly wanted, but he was able to get a massive pay increase with only, you know, a handful of social media posts and meet with Tom Brady accidentally, apparently, while skiing.
Someone explained to me, quarterback edition, what team is actually a fit for Aaron Rodgers? Rodgers did not play well last year. Rodgers missed the entirety of the season before, save four plays in week one before he ruptured his Achilles. Rodgers is now going to be playing at 42 years old at the end of next football season. And Rodgers comes with baggage. And I don't mean that it's a negative word, I guess, connotation, but he comes with a lot of extra stuff you have to deal with.
Yeah.
Some of it's okay. Some of it's good. It's a lot of attention. It's a lot of media requests. It's a lot of interviews people want to do. It's a lot of folks that will be paying attention to your team. But a lot of it is distracting. A lot of it is negative. Sometimes it's having to appease his gigantic ego and personality and, you know, wanting to help run the show and bring in some of his own teammates so that he feels comfortable in the building. What's the fit? If you're on the precipice of winning a title, does he play at the level that gets you over the hump? If you're not there and you actually just need a quarterback, but you're bad, why does he want to continue his career playing for a team that's not winning? It's hard for me to thread the needle for Aaron Rodgers.
I'm with you. It's one of those things where if you could just get, you know, Madden style, if you could just get the player and those ratings that he would have, you'd go, okay, I guess that makes sense for some teams, right? If you don't have a young answer, you don't have a current star, and you're sort of in between, you don't have a great way to acquire one, he's probably better than what you got. But the extra stuff is no longer worth it and hasn't been worth it now for some time. The Jets were hoping he could recapture that MVP back-to-back type form he had only a few years ago. Achilles tear, we know the story. I mean, it's just been just an absolute disaster. But I know this expression has fallen out of vogue, and I'm not calling anybody this, but we used to say this about members of the opposite sex when I was younger, and girls would say it about guys say it about girls, but this is a high-maintenance person. It just means there's always something. There's always some kind of dramatics, always a fire you have to put out, and that's what it is with him. I'm not coming to work unless Alan Lazard's there. Well, I can't possibly learn the playbook unless Nathaniel Hackett's the person giving it to me. I can't show up for training camp unless I get Randall Cobb. Whatever the thing is, it's always some kind of demand. Or now I'm skipping training camp, but it's excused or not excused. But there was an excuse, but it shouldn't be excused. Enough. It's such a pain in the butt. I don't know what the fit is. Somebody desperate's going to turn to him. You always do. But, man, I don't know where I would say, okay, that makes a lot of sense for a team.
Someone explained to me how Russell Wilson and his agent are going to sell someone on him being a starting quarterback that can lead you on a playoff run. With the tape that we have now from the end of his time in Seattle, in Denver, and the second half of the season in Pittsburgh, where he kind of completely slowed to a stop almost. Danny, we're talking about three teams. He's about to be potentially on his fourth team in 5 years. Crazy. It is what it is at this point. He's a 10-time Pro Bowler. He's a former Super Bowl champion. That all happened, but it's gone now.
He was on his way to the Hall of Fame, I feel like.
He still might get to the Hall of Fame.
He might, but you know what I mean? Like, this was a, you average mid-30s touchdowns per year. The playoff success, part of at the helm of some winning teams. I think he's, you know, as a quarterback coming into a couple years ago, was like 50-some games over 500. I know that's not something that you and I pay attention to, but point is, just at the helm of a lot of winning teams, and people put a lot of stock in that. And you add in some of the highlights, the running, the quarterback rating. He still may yet get to the Hall of Fame, but that guy's gone. You're now looking at somebody who the defense is, well, it's not maybe that bad. You know what I mean? It's like when you go, you think of Russell Wilson, you're kind of recoiling, and the argument for the agent or someone else will go, actually, take a look. It's okay. Right? That's such a far departure from franchise guy, Super Bowl winner. If you have him, you have a chance. I don't know what happened exactly. I don't know whether it was the fact that you kind of took away some of his scrambling ability, some of his playmaking stuff, and now it's more, you know, just regular from the pocket, and he's fine, but you don't see those highlights anymore anywhere near as often.
Someone explained to me, there's been a lot of talk about the possibility of Kirk Cousins getting a chance to go start somewhere else this coming year if he gets released. Why would the Falcons cut him? Someone explained that to me. The team would get hit with a $65 million dead money penalty to release him, to then not have him on the roster as what would be a pretty quality backup. I mean, you've got a rookie in Michael Penix, who presumably will play well and play for the whole year and hopefully for them stays healthy. But if you keep Cousins, you got to pay him a lot of money. His cap number this coming season is $40 million. So as a backup, that's not fun. But that's better than paying him $65 million to not be on your roster.
Yeah.
Someone explain why there's so much talk about them releasing him outright rather than keeping him around.
There must be something that I don't know. Is there some lever, some mechanism where everybody can agree to forego some money or some kind of thing to get me my chance to go play? I mean, I have no idea, because on its face, as soon as you hear $65 million dead cap hit, I literally close the binder with that bit of information in it. I go, what else you got?
Well,
what
Cousins other plans will be begging for a release, obviously.
Yeah.
And his agent and him, Mike McCartney, who's done a good job, obviously, his whole career, you know, they're going to go to Atlanta and say, listen, you told me I was starting for 2 years. You told me I was your guy. Now I'm on the bench. I don't want to be here. It's only fair. Release me. And I'd imagine Cousins, as the backup now, not having to be the team leader and all that, maybe you don't have to show up for some of the early off-season stuff or mini camps or whatever, and you could try to force your way out of there. But they could just play hardball and say, it's $65 million, man. We screwed you.
Yeah, it's prohibitive.
But we can't screw ourselves. I'm sorry. It's just business.
Yeah. It's not in the best interest of the team to have that dead cap hit. It just isn't. So I don't know what else they're supposed to do.
Someone explained to me, where's Sam Darnold going to end up? He's got a lot of options. There's plenty of teams that are going to consider him based on being the youngest, highest upside potential franchise quarterback available after the year he just had in Minnesota. But I would add this to the someone explained to me pile. Someone explained to me why you could, you know, think why you could think Darnold will be better in your place than he was last year. With Kevin O'Connell as a coach of the year, with the number one receiver in the league, Justin Jefferson, with an awesome number two, Jordan Addison, with a really talented tight end in TJ Hockenson. Mm-hmm. They couldn't run the ball 2 years ago. Last year, they had Aaron Jones come in. He was awesome. Their line has gotten a lot better over the last few seasons as well. If he crashed and burned badly at the end of the year with that group, why are you going to be able to do better?
That is the question. To me, the answer always comes back to the arrogance of coaches, GMs, or whoever. Because you don't get to that level to be in charge of an organization, to be a head coach, without thinking that your way is the best way. I don't mean you think that. You live that. Your belief. The way we do it is the way we're going to do it, because that's the best way to do it, right? So you think, I know this hasn't worked for other teams, but it'll work for us, right? And you enter yourself into the Sam Darnold bucket. I'm as good an offensive mind as Kevin O'Connell. I'm a quarterback whisperer, too. Watch what I'm going to do. And someone's going to fall for it and left, you know, the game of musical chairs will happen and you'll be left standing.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30 this evening. There is food that will shorten your lifespan each time you eat it. How much time ticks off your life every time you eat a hot dog, as an example? Got some interesting foods and how much time they supposedly cost you on this spinning rock. We'll get to that next on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny taking you up to 6:30. It is a Friday evening. Hopefully, as you get out of the office, you're ready for a big, fun weekend. We thank you for making the show part of your day. So I'm going to have to find this story I was looking at earlier in the week. I still haven't come across it. I had a bunch of items and how much time each via studies may take off your life. But the one jarring one I do have here is the hot dog.
Yeah.
Which, according to this study, and this has been done many times over the last 4 years, I'm seeing a bunch of studies here. But it suggests that every time you eat a hot dog, it could take 36 minutes off of your life. So I ask you, Danny Rouillet, how many hot dogs do you think you've eaten in your life? Do some quick math here.
Oh, my God. 1,000?
1,000 hot dogs?
Does that sound right? No? Less? More?
Workshop it. I mean, how are you coming to 1,000?
Yeah, maybe I may have overshot. But like the times where you, I don't have one at the cookout or at the barbecue.
True.
You know what I mean? Like you go to the game, you have one. But when it's like, hey, you want to? I'll give you an example. I did an endorsement years ago for Dietz and Watson, the fresh meats type company, and they were trying to peddle their hot dogs, right? So I go to the supermarket, and they're doing a giveaway. I had 7 over the course of 2 hours. You know what I mean? Like.
That's too many. With buns?
Yeah, with buns.
Were you Joey Chestnut?
No. Because he dips them in water, which I think should be banned, by the way.
Well,
I think Japanese should be banned. Yeah.
I'm going to get to the point of the dude's story here.
Yeah.
This is going to be jarring for you.
Yeah.
Okay? If Danny's had 1,000 hot dogs in his life.
Lost 36,000 minutes.
Okay, that's 36,000 minutes. You divide that by 60 to get hours. And you divide that by 24 to get days. Danny Rouillet has cost himself 25 days of time on Earth.
It feels about right.
Just eating hot dogs.
Yeah.
If that's true, do you regret any of the hot dogs consumed?
Right this second, no. But as I'm lying there with the...
Right. Like someone comes up and they go, Danny, if you hadn't eaten all those hot dogs, you'd have 47 days left.
Yeah.
You'd probably be like, damn, I'll trade those hot dogs.
I'd trade them. Not then, not at the time. The little burn on the outside, little snap, little mustard. Mm-mm. I want them.
This list was staggering. It was like every drink you have is this X minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time you do this, it's
every
nine,
French fries a minute.
No, literally, it's like yeah. 9 minutes with every order of French fries or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, wow, that's a lot of 9 minutes for me, I'll tell you. I've got 27 minutes for my 3 meals today.
Yeah, I've got about 17 hours left, it sounds like, when you add up all the foods.
Not literally today, but days in my life, obviously. But man, oh man, it's the great debate. It's like you got to live a little bit. Life is life, man. You got to have a little fun. You and I, we're trying to do the healthy thing right now with our friends at Co-Pair.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got to be sustainable. It's got to be realistic. You got to change your habits in a way that, to me, I don't want to, like people will say, oh, you can never have that again. I'm not interested in that.
That's not living.
It's not realistic to me to suggest that I'll never eat a chocolate chip cookie again. And frankly, if we're being honest.
You're the cookie monster, after all.
I am the cookie monster. If I can't have a chocolate chip cookie again, then none of this is worth it. What is the point of any of this?
Yep.
It's cool that I have some kids that I love. It's great that I get to watch football on Sundays. If I can't eat cookies again ever.
Ever.
Thanks for the time. It's been lovely. What's the point? You got to enjoy yourself some. You just can't enjoy yourself like 96% of the time, which is what I like to do.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like I
got to flip the ratio. Yeah, you got to be 4 to 96 instead of 96 to 4. Yeah.
That ratio, I'd like to get to a healthy like 10 to 15% of the time. I live my life every
time.
But 95%, let's see. 99% probably for about most of the last several years when I'm not on a health kick with our buddies at Co-Pair. That's not going to do it, and I get that. But a hot dog, added up over your lifetime, taking 25 days away from my guy Danny Ruye, that's pretty jarring.
Yeah, it feels like a – I mean, you think about the things that are probably as bad or worse. Like, remember we had that conversation with Nick Ashew, who's, like, so handsome and smells like berries, about donuts? He's like, yeah, guys, I don't even think I've had a donut this year. And I'm like, what? And it was, like, November. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've been around donuts. You've seen the donut. You may not go out of your way to get them. You may not have stopped at Krispy Kreme because the light was on. You may not have walked into a Dunkin' Donuts or gotten something for kids or bits. You didn't go to a single meeting where the donuts just sitting there and you hold off for about 45 seconds and you go, bleep it, and the donut's just calling to you? What do you mean you haven't had a donut this year? You know what I mean? Like, those are the ones where I set out to do the right thing. And just here in the home, there's donuts. Like, you walk in the kitchen, you're in another room, and you smell the air of the donut. And next thing you know, you've had six.
Well, I'll give you another one.
Yeah.
The most impressive thing to me is people with children who eat really healthy. With respectfully to Nick Ashew, it's still amazing when you're able to just prioritize your abs and not eat things that are bad for you. But my kids go get donuts, you know, after church or whatever, and they come back or they'll have a snack or the foods that they eat, whether it's, you know, you go out, it's chicken tenders or little burgers or whatever. If you can have kids in your house, which inevitably means you've got snacks and all kinds of things to keep them happy and eating, and you can still be super healthy,
yep,
you're Thor. you're Iron Man. That's your superpower.
Yes.
I don't know how you do it, but God bless you. If you're single, like when I was single and living in an apartment, I just wouldn't buy the stuff. If I went on a heater where I'm not going out and getting it, if I don't have it, I can't eat it. It's way easier to do. But I don't call the shots on what we have in my house anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to have stuff for the kids. But if it's there.
If it's there.
Now I need this little thing called willpower. That's where it gets difficult.
If my Madden rating on willpower, turn down as a prospect.
It's not a 99.
No, it's not.
I don't know if the Jets ownership's going to like you very much.
Seriously, yeah.
If your Madden rating isn't very high. Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:30. John Gruden back in the media and apparently now back in a Ring of Honor. We'll explain next.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.